Yeah, we're going to pray for the offering. But as we do that, I also want you to bow your heads. You'll see why we're doing this in a second, I hope. Not that we need a special reason to pray, but as we bow and as you pray, I'd like you to take a couple of minutes in prayer and pray and ask God what He wants for you and what He wants from you. Okay, so as we bow to pray again, take a couple of minutes, pray what God wants for you and what God wants from you. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to leave some time for us all to pray before God. Dear God, I thank You so much for another day to come and worship You and study Your Word and get together and fellowship and praise Your holy name. God, I thank You for Your incredible blessings to us, that we give back some to You. I pray that You would magnify those gifts that people have given and use it for Your glory, use it for Your honor, use it that Your name would be spread, that Your gospel would be spread. And God, now each one of us, we bow before You in our heart, and we ask You, our great and mighty God, what do You want from us? And God, what do You want for us? God, I pray that You would speak to our hearts in these next couple minutes. In Jesus' name. Father God, again, we thank You that we can have a relationship with You. God, I pray that we would be spending time in prayer, praising You and then listening and not being so quick to speak. God, I pray that You would speak to us more and more through Your Word and also through Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. If you all would open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. This is on page 1036 of the Bibles in the pew in front of you. We're going to be looking at the rest of verse 2 that we started last week. Last week we looked at the term Father. We looked at the fact that our relationship with God, that we can have a personal relationship with the God of the universe, is an incredible privilege that we should not be ignoring or taking for granted. That it should give us this intense joy and spur us on to be children of God who love our fellow brothers and sisters, who are trying to be like our Father. And that we should remember that God the Father is an audience in our lives. Yes, to like discipline us, to see when we're going off the wrong path and to get us on the right path, but also to watch and be proud to reward. We looked at the verse that said your Father sees what you do in secret and will reward you. That we should be thinking about that relationship throughout the day, throughout our walk, throughout our lives. And we should look to Him to take care of us as our Father. And all of this, that term Father, that relationship, that should set the tone of our prayers. Again, the big idea from last week is this reminder that we have this special personal relationship with the God of the universe. And Jesus said, whenever you pray, say this. Whenever you pray, say Father, not as a magical word or just a rote thing to just spill out of our mouth. But when you say that word, Father, a reminder to us that we have a special personal relationship with the God of the universe. So in that, there's two entities. There's me and there's God, and there's this relationship between the two of us. This week, the big idea is that in that relationship, me and God, is to focus on His agenda and His will. The last time you went to God in prayer, did you say, God, this is what I want? Or did you say, God, what do you want for me and from me? Not counting the last one that I told you to pray like 2 minutes ago. But I asked you to pray, God, what do you want for me and what do you want from me? But very often we come to God and it's our agenda that we bring to the table. I'm speaking for all of us. If you want to take yourself out of that, you can take yourself out of that. I know for me, that's the temptation. That's the, you know, kind of the go-to is, here's my agenda, I'm bringing it to God. I'm doing a good thing, I'm bringing my agenda to God. Yes, it's always good to come to God, even if we don't come with the best motives or this or that. Anytime we're coming to God, it's a great thing. But I think the default is, I'm coming to God with my agenda. And last week we looked at the term Father, and that alone could almost give us the idea that, yeah, we come to our Father and say, this is what I want. You know, this can be how we approach earthly fathers sometimes. This is who I go to ask for what I want. But the rest of the line kind of should further set the tone and keep that from being the only reason we come to God. This next line, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. This should help to put our heart in the right place as we go to pray. So let's take a look at that. Hallowed be your name, holy is your name, and your kingdom come. I looked at throughout Scripture, and there's a lot in the Old Testament as well about ascribing holiness to the name of God. And I feel like a couple of, you know, main themes that would come up with that are praising God for who He is and what He has done. I think when we acknowledge God as Father and as the holy and perfect King, it will help to affect three things: our mindset, our actions, and the things that we pray for. So these are the three things I want us to look at when we approach God in prayer and we, you know, come to it with first that worship, and we come to it looking at that He is our Father, that He is holy, that He is the perfect King. It should affect our mindset, our actions coming out of the prayer, and the things that we pray for. We'll start with looking at our mindset. When we praise Him for who He is and what He's done, it should put us in the mindset of trusting Him and His will and His agenda for our lives. You know, when we think about who He is, His holiness, His power, His glory, and then we think about what He has already done for us, that should give us trust in His agenda, in His will. We think of all the things He's done for us, for all the love that He's shown to us, all the power that He's displayed, all of His holiness. That should set that tone for, I want what He's going to give me, not what my agenda is. And we don't have to go further than our salvation, right? If you're ever like grasping at straws, God, what have you done for me? I can't even remember what He's done for me in the past. I hope that's not the case, but if you have that moment, one thing that I do is I write things down. I don't do it as much as I used to, as much as I should, but when God does something, I write it down, because at the moment when God does something, you're like, wow, this is amazing. God did this amazing thing. I'm never going to forget this. And then the next Tuesday, you forget it, right? Especially when something really bad happens on that Tuesday. And if you can open that book and be like, wow, I remember when God did this, when God did that, when God did the other thing. And it helps you to remember, this is God's love for me. This is God's power. I should be trusting in Him. But again, we don't have to even... We should go to those things, but we don't have to go further than our salvation to think about the amazing thing that God did for us. If we truly understand our salvation, you can't run out of thanks and joy for it. You can't. It's a bottomless pit. That sounds like a bad thing, but it's a bottomless pit of joy and thankfulness, and it's eternal life. Like every day, we can thank God for that. We should thank God for that. When we talk about the holiness of God, holy is your name. We should be thinking of His holiness and the fact that we are holy only through the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that allows us to come before God and be holy in front of Him. So when we say holy is your name, it's a reminder that we are holy. We are sinful, but holy only through the blood of Jesus. And again, a reminder that God's will is what is best for us. And so it's why I wanted us to pray right after the worship, and why I want us to do that, I think, more on a regular basis as well, is that when you have this worship, we have this adoration, when you're singing to God, holy, 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 when you're reminded of His salvation and you're singing out and pray, then when you sit down to pray to Him, it kind of affects your mindset. When you go to God, when you have a need, it's like, okay, I have this need, I'm going to go to God. You're asking for that need. That's the first thing that comes out of your mouth. But when you start with adoration, when you start with praise, when you start with holy is your name, and you spend some time in that moment, then what's going to come out in prayer is going to be different. And your agenda is not going to be so at the forefront. God's agenda is going to be something that you're going to be thinking about more. So it can really set the tone of our mindset. Two, it should affect our actions coming out of the prayer. When I was looking at those verses, and I don't think I listed these verses, but it's not super hard to find. You can go to BibleGateway.com or any of those search engines and just put, you know, holy name. And there'll be like, you know, 50, 60 different passages in the New Testament and the Old Testament that will come up. And you can kind of read through and get a sense for things like that. And when I looked at that, there were a number of verses that talked about not profaning His holy name. And so, just like last week when we call God Father, it's a reminder that we are His children and that we should strive to be like our Father. We looked at verses that talk about how it's our goal as children to be like our Father. And of course, we're never going to be perfect in this life, but we're to be led by the Spirit, led by His Word, and we're to try to follow after our Father. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 that, you know, we're to let our good works shine is to glorify our Father who is in heaven. In the same way, as children, when we say, holy is your name, we should be thinking about, okay, as His child, I want to not profane the His name. When I talked about with the children of Israel, when sometimes when they would go astray, they would go after other idols. It was like, this is the people that God put His name upon. And so when they would go after other gods, it would profane His name. So as God's children, when we say that, we're reminded of His holiness. It should be a reminder to us, don't profane that name. You know, and again, I don't think we should walk around in fear. All of our sin is forgiven by Jesus at the moment of our salvation. He continues, you know, we're to repent, and He disciplines us and forgives us. And we don't walk around in fear as God's children. But we should take His holiness seriously and want to be led in that holiness and not profane His name as His children. Again, when we talked about coming to the Father, and when you go to the Father, you could have this idea of, you know, asking things from the Father and what the Father will do for you. But when you approach the King, you don't necessarily have that same feeling. How many of you have ever gone up to a king? This doesn't work quite so much in this day and age. Probably none of us have gone before a king. But you can probably imagine, right? Either today or back then, when you approach a king, what are your expectations? I think our first expectations is usually not so much like, okay, what are you going to do for me, King? You know, it's to approach Him and say, what do you want from me? And when we look at God and we acknowledge His holiness and that He is the King, it's His kingdom, we should approach Him with a mindset of, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to be? We're to focus on His will and His agenda. And that should influence our actions. I haven't heard the sound of turning Bible pages, and I'd like to hear that sound. So I'm going to ask you to go to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 12. It's on page 1178. Even if you're not going to go there, pick up a Bible and flip some pages, just so I'll feel better about the whole thing. I can hear some flipping. Perfect. Thank you, Lois. Appreciate that. It's a lot of flipping right there. So Colossians chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 9 through 12. It's on page 1178. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." It's the idea that praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will. When we ask God's will to be done, we want to find the knowledge of His will. What does it say in verse 10? So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So again, when we come to God in prayer and ask for His agenda, part of that is, God, what is Your will so that I can walk in that will? So when I leave this time of prayer, I'm walking closer to that path. I'm walking closer to Your will. Seeking to know God's will so that we can live in a way that pleases Him. Point number three is that it should affect what we pray for, the things that we pray for. The very first thing in the Lord's Prayer of what we are asking for is that His kingdom would come, that God's kingdom would come. In Luke, it just says, "Your kingdom come." And some of the other synoptics, it goes on to say, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Luke just shortens it a bit. The meaning is the same, because the kingdom coming, that's what it means, is that God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom, we've talked about this before, we're not going to go into depth of what the kingdom is, but in short, it is the realm where God's will is done and He is rightfully recognized as King. So the kingdom of God is the realm where God's will is done, where He is rightfully recognized as King. The kingdom come is God's will being done in the world and in our lives. I'm going to ask you a question. I'd like you to answer honestly. If your prayers could always come true, like you sit down to pray, boom, it comes true. This is like it happens 100% of the time. Would you want your will to be done or God's? If your prayers could always come true, you sit down and pray, would you want your will to be done or God's? You answered God's will, right? Everyone answered God's will. Even when I said, you know, ask honestly, that's clearly the right answer in this case, right? That God's will would be done. But perhaps secretly or a bit in your heart, you're thinking, I'd like my will to be done. And more likely when we come to God in prayer, that's kind of the feeling. God, will you bring about my will? Is that not what we pray when we come to God a lot? Like, this is what I want. God, will you bring this about? Now, we wouldn't divide it into, I want my will to be done, not your will to be done, God. But a lot of times that's actually how we approach God. Is, God, will you enact my will in this situation? His kingdom come, saying, God, your kingdom come, is saying, God, I want your will to be done, not mine. And I want you to affect my heart and change my heart so that I want your will to be done. And there's, these two major areas where we want God's will and God's kingdom to come, and that's in our lives and in the world. Saying, God, your kingdom come, is asking that His will would be done in our lives and in the world. I want to start with our own lives. We should be asking that God's will is done in our lives. And that when we sit down to pray, that He would lead us to pray for the things that are according to His will. I would say, God, what are the things that you want for me? That's the for me part. God, what do you want for me? What are the things that you know that I need? And sometimes God will put particular things on your heart to pray for. If you listen to Him and say, God, what should I want? What do you want for me? He will put things on your heart that you should be praying for. Other times the Bible says that the Spirit will intercede for us. The Holy Spirit that you received when you came to know God, they put in your heart, He will intercede for us. And it will even go beyond words, go beyond verbalization. If you want to turn your Bibles again to page 1132, I want to look at Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Page 1132, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. It's a beautiful passage, a beautiful truth. And it's saying, if you don't know what to pray for, you don't know what God's will is, let the Holy Spirit help guide you, even if it doesn't come out in particular words, to say, like, God, what do you want from me? I want your will to be done, and trusting Him that He is going to work out all things for your good according to His perfect purpose. One of the things that I was thinking about in regard to this is Charlie. We all love Charlie, and we're all sad that he's in New York, but we're happy for him. He's at dental school, so he's gone for a few years, and he was telling us that he's up for this scholarship for the Army. And it's a little bit of a, does he want to get it or not want to get the scholarship, which sounds a bit silly. If he gets the scholarship, he saves a ton of money and he doesn't have to work a job while he's in school. But after he graduates, then he has to serve in the Army for 3 years and make a 3-year commitment, which he loves the Army. That's not the problem. The problem is then he's gone from us for another 3 years. And he loves it being here. He loves it in L.A. as well. So it's like on the one hand, he graduates without a huge amount of debt. And that's a great thing. He doesn't have to work while he's in school. But then he's got those 3 years after. If he doesn't get the scholarship, he's, you know, wraps up those years of school. He can come back here. And then he's got this enormous debt. And so Charlie, he could easily fret about these two different things. He could easily say, like, this is the one I want. God, this is my will. Enact this will. He's got this amazing attitude where he's like, I just want God's will to be done in this. Honestly, I don't know what's the best. I don't know what's going to happen those 3 years after I graduate, if it's really important that I'm here in L.A. or if it's important that where God sends me somewhere else. I don't know if it's like he, in his case, you could say it was a little bit easier for him because it's a really tough choice. So just leave it up to God. But this is the truth in every situation, even if we feel like, oh, this is the one I really want. In each situation, we should be saying, God, you created everything. You know the hairs on my head. I don't know how many there are. God, you know the future. I don't know the future. God, you know which way is best. Even if to me it looks like 98%, like this is the right way. Like if I could have my prayer, God, enact this will. God, if you know the 2% is better, then make that happen. Like that should be our prayers. God, I want your will to be done. And if I can't put into that words, God, just pray through the Spirit in me that your will would be done and that all things would work out for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. When we the great thing about praying according to God's will is that you can be sure that it's that it always comes to be. This is the good thing, that your prayers will always come true. First John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. So if you pray according to his will, it's going to come to be. And you'll have fewer times when you're like, God, I prayed for this and it didn't come to pass. Right? You're praying for his will, and so it's going to come to pass. The question might arise, you might ask me then, well, then why do we pray at all if it only kind of works, quote unquote, if we're praying according to his will? Well, sometimes the Bible talks about this, that if we pray according to his will, it will happen. But even if it's within God's will, something he would do for us, it doesn't happen unless we pray for it. And why might that be the case? Because God wants us to come to him as a father. God wants us to come to him and say, God, this, I want your will to be done. I've been praying. I think this is your will, God, so I'm going to pray for this. I'm going to pray for it in Jesus' name. And when you do that and he answers, it helps to show that there's that relationship there. And it's a beautiful reminder to us that we can come to our Father and we can make requests. I'm not saying that we can never make specific requests to God and say, God, this is what I would like. I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm just saying that that shouldn't be the every prayer. And before you do that, go to God and say, God, is this what I should want? And say, God, if this isn't what you know is best, then give me what is best. But it doesn't mean we can't go to God with specific requests. And when we go to God with those requests and we pray in his name, in the name of Jesus, and he answers us, then it builds that faith. It makes clear we have this personal relationship with God. And I think there's another kind of cool thing that happens, that when we pray like for God's will, God, show me your will, and then he shows it to us. Because again, if it's like, God, show me your will, okay, he shows me your will, God, can I have this, then he gives us that. Kind of, do you understand like the steps I'm talking about here? You might say, well, why didn't God just give you that then? Why go through the steps? God, show me your will. Okay, I'm going to ask for that. And now you're going to give it to me. Again, one, it shows that relationship. But I think it does something else too. That it prepares our heart for receiving what God has to give us. Because had God given that to you before you wanted that, you might not be as happy. If God changes your heart to want the things of God, that when He gives you those things, you're like, that is what I want. I'm going to use a stupid analogy, but if I said, God, change my taste buds so that I like broccoli, and then He gives me broccoli, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. But if I didn't go through that process of being changed by God first, that when He gives me those things, I wouldn't find the joy in them if I didn't let Him first change my heart to want the things of God. I don't know how to re-explain that, so hopefully that made sense to you. If it didn't, that's okay. Just move on to the next thing. I want to talk about the other aspect of the kingdom come now. By the way, if I do ever say something confusing in the sermon, I'm always happy to talk to you about it afterwards. So please ask me any questions you have about anything that I say that may be confusing. Let's talk about the kingdom come in terms of the world. We're talking about it, God's will in our own lives. Let's look at God's kingdom in the world. When it says in this prayer, your kingdom come, we've talked about the kingdom in the past. There's this idea of the kingdom has sort of already come in some sense, but it is not yet fully come. Jesus, when He cast out demons, He said the kingdom of God has come upon you. And there's some metaphors He used, some analogies for the growth of the kingdom of God in the world. And when the church grows and the Spirit of God moves in the world, there's this sense that God's will is done in these places. And so there's aspects of the kingdom coming, but its fullness is not come until Jesus comes back. Until Jesus sets up His kingdom from Jerusalem, and He rules for 1,000 years, and then He goes through the final judgment, and then there's the everlasting kingdom. Like, that's the in Acts chapter 1, where His disciples are saying, is now the time when you're going to establish your kingdom? Like, that is the kingdom to come. And so when He says, your kingdom come, I think ultimately it's looking to that time when Jesus returns and He makes everything right. When He gets rid of all the sinfulness, all the sadness, all the garbage, all the things in this world that grieve us and that grieve God. This is the kingdom come when Jesus comes and He makes it all right. And I think there are these notes these verses in your notes that you can look at later. Revelation chapter 21 and 22, Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7, Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, and others that just talk about this kingdom that is to come, where Jesus is going to come back and make everything right. And so that should be our prayer. We should look at this world and see the sadness, the sorrow, and say, God, I want You to come back and make everything right. I want the things that You want, and I want to see You come back. You know, the end of Revelation, amen, come Lord Jesus. Like, that should be the cry of our heart. Come Lord Jesus. Question, should we expect the world to get better and better leading up to that perfection? Unfortunately, no. The Bible says that things will get worse right at the end. And these are in your notes as well. Matthew 24, 4-13 and verse 21. 2 Timothy 3, 13. Like, there's things that are going to go from bad to worse. There's going to be a lot of false teaching. There's going to be a lot of persecution for true Christians. There's going to be a lot of bad things. But that doesn't mean that we give up. And the fact is, we don't know when Christ will return. It could be super close. It could be close. It could be medium close. It could be sort of close. It could be medium farish. Right? We don't know for sure. The Bible says only God knows that. And the fact is, there could be and hopefully will be revivals in between now and then. And so we should be working, we should be praying towards revival. Making ourselves, our families, our church, our city, our country more like the kingdom as much as we can. Like, that should be our actions, that should be our prayer. God, we want to see Your kingdom, whether it's in the small pocket where the realm of Your will is done, And you are recognized as King, starting from our own lives and working out to our families, our church, our community, our city, our country, our world. We should want to see that. We should pray for that. I want to speak just very briefly about the elections coming up on Tuesday. I don't talk about politics in general, and I'm not really going to talk about it here today in terms of a lot of specifics. But I would encourage you as Christians to participate in that, to go out and vote. We should be praying and working toward a country that is more like the kingdom of God. And so go on. I don't stand up and talk, you know, who you should vote for, what party you should vote for. I think you should pray about it. You should vote for those who you believe will bring biblical values and a biblical worldview. You know, if you're interested in particular topics, what does the Bible say about this topic? You want to ask me about it? I'll say this is what I think the Bible says about this issue. And when we're studying through the scriptures, when an issue comes up like that, I'll talk about this is what the Bible is saying about this issue. These are things each one of us should be praying about, thinking about, and we should be hoping and voting towards what we think is going to bring those biblical values and a biblical worldview. The other thing I would say is don't either rejoice or despair too much if sort of your person or your party wins. Because the day that we're putting our hope in politicians, then we are in huge trouble. Right? God, thankfully, is ultimately in control, and He is our only hope. And as individuals, we need to be showing the love of Christ. We need to be taking care of people. We need to be letting the kingdom reign in our lives. Again, in the lives of our families, in the lives of our church. Like, that's where it starts. And we can make those differences regardless of what's going on in the world around us. So that's what... And I'm trying to practice these things as I'm preaching them as well. And just going through this week, when I go to God, am I starting with Father and really thinking about what that means? I have a relationship with the God of the universe. And when I say your kingdom come, your will be done, am I coming to God with my agenda that He should enact, or saying, God, what is your agenda? What is your will? Put that in my heart. Change my heart. Lead me to pray for those things, and lead me to live a life that lives those things out. Let's pray together. Dear God, dear Father, thank you so much that I can have a relationship with you, the God of the universe. God, help me never to take that for granted. God, help me to never take my salvation for granted. Help me pour out praises to you every day. That I'm your child, that I will have eternal life with you in heaven and with my brothers and sisters here in this room and throughout this city and country and throughout the world, all who know you as their Savior. God, I pray that you would speak to me on a daily basis of what your will is for my life, what you have for me, and what you have for me to do. God, I pray that prayer for each person here as well who knows you. And God, I pray that you'd be pounding on the heart of anyone who might be in this room who doesn't know you. If there is someone, God, I pray that they would repent of their sins, let you in, and become your child. God, we thank you so much. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.